Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Give the Lord a shout. Are you ready tonight? Is your spirit high already? If you are expectant and you know you will be blessed, come on, give the Lord the praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's truly an honor to be here. I count it a great privilege to be here to share God's word to God's special people. I honor immensely from the depths of my heart our Father, Reverend Edwin. Come on, is that how you receive your pastor? Come on! Praise God. You know, when he told me to come in for 4 days, I've never been anywhere within Nigeria for 4 days. But of course, when a father says come, you know, it's a promotion, it's a shift. At least before I leave, there will be a prophetic word. There will be an impartation, and it can impact the next 10 years of my life and ministry. So 4 days is nothing compared to what will be received. Thank you so much, sir. I'm truly honored to be here. I celebrate the leadership of the house. Thank you so much for all you're doing. I believe the Lord will bless everyone here tonight and even those following us online. In the next 1 minute, just lift your hands toward heaven and talk to the Father. Bless the name of the Lord from the depths of your heart. Be deliberate about it. Please try not to be religious. Be very deliberate in talking to the Lord. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him how you depend on him. And tell him how much you trust him for the next phase of your life. And see how the hand of God lifts you up. Please talk to Jesus. It's a personal relationship. It's not a religion. Talk to him. How come you dance and praise him? Can you agree? It doesn't matter what comes my way. Bye. God. I sang that song to change the atmosphere. I want to teach a bit tonight. Tomorrow, I'll do revival. And then on Wednesday, we'll do a healing service. Praise God. I want to show us some very vital principles this evening. I know we already know them. The idea tonight is to draw our consciousness to applying them deliberately, because it's our deliberate application of principles that causes them to profit our lives. What you know may not change your story. It's what you apply that changes your story. And so tonight, I want to share some of these principles that you already are aware of and hope that it will change somebody's story forever and ever. And then when I come tomorrow, I will come with the garment of a Mustang. We can start from any level and stop at any level. If we finish the service and you are still caught up in the third heavens, we will help you to wherever you can find safety and allow you there. You know, when we say things like this, sometimes people look at it and they are like, are you serious? A young man came for the meeting and the power of God hit him. After 4 hours, he stood up and said, can you imagine? I just bought this dress. And so tomorrow will be a revival service, and Wednesday we'll have a healing service. Praise God. Thank you, precious Father, for tonight. We bless your name because you love us more than we can ever imagine. Thank you because you've done for us more than we can ever be grateful for. And thank you because even our future is secured in your hands. Take all the praise, take all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Please be seated for a moment. Yesterday, we began looking at what it takes to step into the new. And I advanced 4 protocols that makes for the betting of the new. Aside the fact that I outlined 3 things that necessitates new beginnings, I was deliberate to carefully itemize 4 very important spiritual factors that makes for new beginnings. And just in case you were not here yesterday, we said 3 things makes new beginnings a must. Number 1, we said every man walking on the face of the earth has a spiritual calendar. In Jeremiah chapter 1 from verse 5, he said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you, and I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. And so there is something God wrote concerning you before the foundations of the world. The reason we all did not show up at the same time is because divine purposes are fragmented into spiritual calendars. The Bible said the sons of Issachar, they have understanding of times and seasons and knew what Israel ought to do. If you miss your season, you miss out on purpose. And so the reason it's important for you to transit, regardless of the success you are already recording, is because there is a calendar for you. And I gave us an instance. For example, you can be a music minister blessing a congregation, but as touching divine ordination, that's the season where you should be blessing a nation. And so even though you are doing well where you are behind as far as God's calendar is concerned. And so there is something you ought to do to keep pace with the movements of the Spirit, because your success cannot truly be quantified in time. Your success actually can only be quantified from the realms of the divine, because only God knows where you should be per time. This is why we strive by the help of the Holy Spirit to keep pace with God. Number 2, I said divine new beginnings are important because the quality of our lives is what determines the progress we are making. And the quality of our lives is to the degree that we align with God. You may have money, but if you are not well aligned with God, your money can become a tool that the devil will use to destroy your generation. And so I quoted from 1 John, the Bible said that I wish above all things that thou mightest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospered. That means as far as God is concerned, you are not permitted to be blessed much more than you know him. Because anything you have that is greater than the knowledge of God becomes a god to you. And you will not know when you will spiral into idolatry. And so the reason betting new is important is because new beginnings are tied to degrees of transformation. And so when a man becomes more like Christ, naturally he steps into another paradigm. And then number three, I said the reason new beginnings are important is because God desires that we live a quality and useful, profitable life. He said, the devil cometh not but for to kill. John 10:10. He said, but I am come that you might have life and life to the full. So it's God's intention that you live a good life. In fact, he went further to say, tell them that are rich in this world to be not high-minded but or trusting of certain riches, but in the living God that giveth unto every man liberally that he may enjoy. So God wants us to enjoy life and to live life to the full. These three things, amongst others, are the things that necessitate a new beginning. And then in order to step into a new beginning, I told us four things must happen in your ecosystem. Number one, I said forces and powers must be judged. Because where you are, most of the times, is not dependent on you, as it were. Where you are, most of the times, is dependent on the forces that surround you. There are positive forces and there are negative forces orchestrated by spirit beings that makes either for your progress or for your limitation. And if there is any force sponsoring your limitation, a judgment must be released on that force for you to go forward. He said, let my people go, speaking to Pharaoh, that they might worship me. That means the people of God would naturally worship God, except as Pharaoh would hold them back in Egypt. The moment Pharaoh lets them go, worship becomes the focus of their existence. And so even though they would want to worship God, it will be impossible to worship God except as Pharaoh is judged. And we saw that not only Pharaoh was judged. In Exodus chapter 12 verse 12, he said the gods of Egypt were judged. So men are where they are, not necessarily because of what they are doing. That may be a part of it, but men predominantly are where they are because of the forces that keep them there. If it were left for them, they would have wished and desired to be in better places. And there are some who are doing much more than wishing. They are working hard, they are diligent and faithful, yet they can't go forward because there are forces involved. And so we said the first thing that makes for a new beginning is the judgment of the forces that mitigates against your prosperity and your progress. Number two, we say when these forces are judged, it's important that your heart is circumcised. Because you can become cultured to the life and the operation of the spirit that kept you captive. You may be under siege by a spirit of immorality. But when the spirit of immorality is cast out, you also need to understand that there are neurotransmitters that you have trained while you were engaging in inordinate affections. And so circumcision must take place so that it's a psychological rehabilitation will take place for you to conform to the new spirit that takes over your ecosystem. Because spirits are cast out, neurotransmitters may not stop working. There are hormones that you have activated. Those who are doctors here can tell you very detailed what I'm trying to talk about. There are many hormones already activated. Most times you are hungry, not necessarily because you need food. Most of the times you are hungry because your body is cultured to eat at that time. And so when it's 2 o'clock, you find yourself hungry. Not necessarily because you need food. That's why when you are fasting and you refuse to eat, you won't die. Because after 1 hour, 2 hours, when your body discovers that food is not coming, your body will secrete other hormones that will stabilize you. But if you have not trained yourself, you will want to die. If you come to a condition where you don't eat, you will discover 2 hours later, you bounce back. That means hunger is an alarm. Hunger is not necessarily. So when God judges spirits, it's important for circumcisions to take place. You have to stop obeying the gods of Egypt and obey the God of heaven. That's what circumcision is all about. And when you do that, the reproach of Egypt will be rolled away. Number three, I say when circumcision takes place, there will also be a need for consecration. Circumcision is detachment from the forces that are alien to God, whereas consecration is attachment to the new government that has come into your ecosystem. So you may stop sinning, but it doesn't mean you start worshiping. Stop sinning and start worshiping are movements in two different directions. You stop sinning because you have come under the government of the Holy Spirit and he has helped you by grace to defy that operation. You now need to align with the Holy Spirit to begin to serve God consciously. There are many people today who are not actively sinning, but at the same time, they are not worshiping God. So they are neither hot nor cold. And God himself said he will spew them out of his mouth. So circumcision is detachment from alien forces, while consecration is dogged attachment to God and to the principles of his kingdom. So after judgment, there's circumcision. After circumcision, there is consecration. When consecration is perfected, then the blessing flows naturally. And so these four things are the forces that makes for a new beginning. Praise God. Hope everybody got that. And we are already practicing it. How many persons are already doing circumcision? You know, many times God will tell you to sharpen the knife and circumcise yourself. That's why I say, if a man purges himself, it's a hard thing, but you will have to pay the price for it. Sometimes when circumcision is taking place, God can tell you, go on a 90 days fast. And this 90 days fast is with 4 hours of prayer. It will not be easy. The first 2 days, you will be energized and say, we are going to Horeb. We are praying in the spirit. After 3 days, you will discover the excitement will die. That's when you will now realize that when you are climbing a mountain, there's an altitude you get to that even your hands can pull you down. Your hands will become a weight. So you will need to be circumspect. You need to be dogged and careful. That difficult process of pain is what circumcision is all about. So Paul said, I beseech you, dearly beloved, Romans 12 from verse 2, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. If you don't do this, there are realms in God you will never see, no matter the impartation. I'm telling you why many believers are gullible and are vulnerable. They don't grow into maturity in the spirit. When these four things are kept, then you can be sure that your transition will be from glory to glory. Every day of your life, you can see the new. The pace is not what we want to talk about today. Remember, there are people who see new things once in 10 years. There are people who see new things once in 5 years. There are people who see new things once in 6 months. There are those who see new things once in every month. But there are those who see new things every day. So it's one thing to understand how to create the new. It's another thing to regulate the speed. Meanwhile, why you see great people who see new things regularly? There are creatures in another realm that see new things every moment. The Bible said the 24 elders, when they bow down, before they lift their head up, they see another dimension and they bow again. As they lift their heads, they see another dimension, they bow again. So there is a realm where people see beings, see new things per moment. And so how often you see new things is a function of your understanding of the dynamics of acceleration. If you understand the dynamics of acceleration, you can move from one level of glory to another level of glory. From one level of glory to another level of glory. Because the timeline is not dependent on God, it's dependent on you. And if you understand how it works, you can discover that your life will become an endless stream of the blessing. What happens to certain persons yearly happens to other people hourly. And it happens to some people by minutes. It's all a function of their understanding of what works. You can reduce it to mundane things. There are those who make 1 million in 1 year. There are those who make 1 million in 1 month. There are those who make 1 million in 1 week. There are those who make 1 million every 1 hour. And there are those who make 1 million every minute. And there are those who make 1 million per second. In this same world that we are all living in, is a function of dynamics. All of them are blessed. But there is something in a blessing called acceleration. And so it's not enough to be blessed. It's enough to activate the acceleration mechanism so that your blessing can be frequent. Because there are certain blessings that will come, but it will come late. I've seen somebody before that needed an endorsement to leave the country for a lifetime. That his prosperity was hinging on that endorsement. And he needed that endorsement before a Wednesday. The endorsement came, but it came on Friday. So you can be blessed. Have you not seen somebody looking for money for operation? And they did everything. The moment the person died, a philanthropy shows up and say, I'm paying the bills of everybody. The blessing showed up, but the frequency of the appearance was the challenge. May you not receive your blessing when you don't need it. It's not enough to be blessed. You have to know what to do to keep the frequency shorter. And when men become wiser, what they do is that they regulate the frequency of what comes to them. This is why they are ahead. I saw a news recently. I just shook my head. I said, the inequality in this world, we need mysteries every day. They said, Elon Musk, in 8 hours, made a gain which is equivalent to the whole wealth of Dangote. How many of you saw the news? He made the wealth. Meanwhile, Dangote is the richest man in Africa by financial standard. Elon Musk made his wealth in 8 hours. There are certain things, it may sound derogatory, but he, on the scale of financial fortune, that means 8 hours of Elon Musk is equivalent to the lifetime of many human beings. That's how it works in the spirit. There are some men that 1 second of their time is equivalent to a lifetime. That's why certain men can walk into your space and say you are blessed. And it will affect 50 years of your life. Because there are many things they can compress into a moment. What somebody else will do in a lifetime, they can compress it into 5 seconds. And 5 seconds with them is equivalent to 50 years with another person. And this is not something that is far from anybody. Every one of us can build into it. You can build your life to a point where the things that happen to you once in 10 years can begin to happen to you weekly. It's your choice. And this is why Accelerate Conference is very important. Now, follow me. There are 3 things I'll talk about tonight that makes for spiritual acceleration. And of course, you know that the spirit realm governs the natural realm. And so if you are moving fast in the spirit, you will naturally move fast. Or you will move fast in nature. And so there are 3 things I want to pick out that regulates speed and frequency in the spirit. Number one is the operation of the word. If you don't know the place of the word of God, you will trivialize it to stories trapped in a book for a religious set of people. Those who understand the power of the word, they use the word to change their seasons and to change their possibilities. There is a way the word works. And so it's important, number one, to know the power of the word. And number two, to also know how to use the word. These two put together is what we call the operation of the word. You may know how the word works, but if you don't know the power in the word, you will trivialize it. And you may know the power in the word, but you may not know how it works. But if you want to actually make the most of the operations of the word, you need to know the power in the word and you need to know how the word works. The first thing I want to show us tonight about the word is in John chapter 6, verse 63. Jesus was speaking, talking about the word. He said, it is the spirit that quickens. That means in the realm of God, quickening is a product of the spirit. As powerful as the Father is, the Father does not govern motion in the spirit. As potent as Jesus is, he does not govern motion in the spirit. He said, what regulates spiritual frequencies is the spirit. And then he stepped down to show us how the spirit is encapsulated. And he said, the words that I speak, they are spirit. He didn't say they are spirits. He's talking about a personality. The words I speak, words in plural, but all of it put together is an operation of a spirit, and it is life. So the first thing you need to know about the word of God is that it's not history, it's spirit. And if the word is spirit, then if you want to understand the efficacy of the word, you will find out what spirits are capable of. If you don't know what spirits are capable of, you will trivialize it. Because the word is spirit, it means the word has the power to make out of your possibility anything it wants or anything it says. So if you can be going through drought and the word can come to you and say, this is your rainy season, you will look up, you will not find rain anywhere. He's not talking from the visible realm. It is spirit. And in the spirit realm, anything the word says becomes. This is why God does not crack jokes. You can read your Bible from Genesis to Revelation. There was no time. Jesus wept, but there was no time he cracked joke. Because if God cracks a joke with you and say your head is big, your head will start being big for eternity. After 1 week, your head may become bigger than Africa. And if you are wondering what happened, God cracked a joke. So he can't. He can't crack joke because he is spirit. Anything God says is spirit. And so when you are dealing with the word of God, you understand that what you are dealing with is spirit. Now, because the word is spirit, there are three things the word will do for you. Number one, when the word shows up, it will transform you. When the word comes, it will change you. Why is it so? Spirits come with their atmosphere. If a spirit enters here now and begins to function, everything will be drawn to the spirit. That's how they are designed to work. When a spirit shows up, now when you leave this room, you will leave this space and enter another space. And when you leave outside into your car, you will leave the space and enter your car. Spirits are not like that. When a spirit comes, it comes with its environment. A spirit carries its ambience and its atmosphere. So when the word is shot into your life, you become part of the atmosphere of the spirit. And so everything happening within the sphere of that spirit begins to happen with you. And because the spirit cannot be limited, suddenly you become unlimited. And then you are wondering, what happened? You have become spirit in vital sense. You may be looking like the normal weak and vulnerable person. But what you don't know is that the more that spirit intermingles with you, the more you become like that spirit. And suddenly, your life will take the motion and the pace of that spirit. It will so influence you and influence your environment that it will become difficult to separate you from the spirit. Remember, when God wanted to enter the human race, all he needed was to send the word. And the word came into a virgin. And the word took flesh. And the moment Jesus showed up, he was one with the Logos. Because if the word enters you, you become one with the word. You now are able to do what the word does. So when the word enters a man, it provokes irrevocable transformation to a degree that the man sustains the potency of the word. Find out people who change things. They change them by the word. Number two, when the word shows up and enters you, it brings the realm of eternity. Because the word is eternal. The reason you have limitation is because you are in time. Time is fragmented and is chronological in nature. But eternity is a perpetual continuum. If you step into eternity, yesterday, today, and tomorrow are all now. There is no past, present, or future in eternity. God dwells in the realm of eternal now. That's why when God is talking to you, He's talking to your past, present, and future at the same time. That's why you can be poor. God comes to you and say you are rich. And you are wondering, based on where I'm standing, I can't see riches. He's talking about tomorrow at the same time. If you believe it, you can substitute it immediately. Because where he is, there's no past, there's no present, there's no future. When Moses entered the realm of eternity, you know what happened? Moses saw the things that happened before man was created. And Moses also saw the things that happened after he dies. That means Moses saw his grave. When Moses came to speak to the children of Israel, he said, I saw the Lord descending from the mountains of Paran. That's the battle of Armageddon. So Moses went into future, Moses went into past, standing in the realm of eternity. When a man enters eternity, time collapses. And because time collapses in eternity, you can now decide to shuffle your possibilities. You can shuffle. They say, I'm a failure. Okay, since that's what they say, do you not read about Jesus? The Bible said in Matthew 4:1 that the Spirit led him to the wilderness to be tempted. When Jesus entered the wilderness, temptation happened. But when he came down, he came with fame. He came with power. And he entered the synagogue. Suddenly, everything changed. Because according to chronology, it was time of temptation. But according to eternity, all things are possible to them that believe. And so he changed the mountain of temptation to the mountain of fame, to the mountain of breakthrough, and to the mountain of power. You may be here now, your condition looks vulnerable. Let the word show up. The word has the power and the potential to mingle every possibility that is available in the realm of God. Now, the beautiful thing about the word of God is that all of us, our allocation is in the word. And two things you need to know is that this thing functions like Bluetooth. If I send you something from my phone, I don't lose it. I still keep it. You too still have it. And both of us have it 100%. If I enter the world, let me explain something to you. Something that God said to our daddy here. Because I caught that word too. I can enter his reality and take from it and add to my own. He will not deplete in essence, but I have increased because I have received a word that is all. Because in the world is the inheritance of the whole human race. So any man who catches the word can become anything. That's how powerful the word is. You can be desiring to receive the anointing on Reinhard Bonnke. But unfortunately, you heard of him after he has died. If you begin to interact the word and you catch the word that Reinhard Bonnke caught, you can touch what he touched without meeting him or without collecting his mantle. Because it is still there 100%. And you can take it, use it, die, and go back to God. Another generation will come and still take it and still walk it. Paul said something in 2 Corinthians 4:13. He said, according as it is written, they believe and have spoken. We, having the same spirit of faith, believe and therefore speak. That means the possibility of the fathers can become our possibility. Because what made it happen is the faith that is in the word of God. And so if I touch the word today, I can have the experience of Paul. If I touch the word today, I can have the experience of anybody. Because the Bible said, all things were created by him. That means the word carries the potential of all reality. And number two, it said, all things are sustained by the word of his power. So when we are talking about the word, we are talking about eternity. When the word comes to you, it can become heaven. If you know how the word works, I was praying some time ago and the word of the Lord came to me. And the word that came to me was like light. And I saw the light walking out of the wall and it was talking and entering me. And I know the verse that was talking. But suddenly that verse turned into a moving light. And the moment that verse entered me, it was as if I was carried to the mountain of wisdom. And anything I look at, what I see becomes difficult for somebody else to see. And I'm wondering what is going on. Because the word had become light.
There was a time again in the place of prayer, the word of God came to me, and I saw that the word was a gate. And as the word was sounding, I entered into a realm, and certain realities were revealed to me. I now discovered that every verse of scripture is not English language, it's a gate. This thing can be a gate into prosperity. It can be a gate into power. It can be a gate into favor. It can be a gate into wisdom, because the word is eternity. When the Bible said he has put eternity in their hearts, he's saying he has put the word in their heart. That means anything you see by the word can become a reality. You can enter heaven through your heart. You can enter into God through your heart. You can enter into any reality through your heart, because the word is a capsule of eternity. You want to find out where eternity is, don't look into the cloud. Find the scriptures. When you pick a word, you can find the whole of eternity in it. That's the potency of the word. So number one, the word can transform you. Number two, the word can bring eternity to your realm. And you begin to function as a limitless man, having no limitation of whatsoever. And finally, the word will become a light that will give you accurate direction at every time. One of the greatest wealth of a man is not in the bank, is the ability to make the right choice at all times. And it will be impossible to walk through this life and only make the right choice with the plethora of distractions and confusing agents in this world. I've taught people many times, I say, if you're in the wrong direction, speed is not an advantage. And so when the word comes to you, what the word does is that it guides your step in light. Job said in Job 29 verse 4, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secrets of God was upon my tabernacle, he said, by light I walk through darkness. Our world is flooded with darkness, and darkness is not blackout. Darkness is wickedness. Darkness is evil. Darkness is treachery. Darkness is envy. Darkness is jealousy. People can just rise and want you to fail for no reason. And when you ask them, why do you want him to fail? They say he's too confident. So the reason they want you to fail is because you are not a mediocre. If you were a mediocre struggling, they will look at you and say, yes, this is good. Because they know you are crawling through life. But the moment they see that you are confident, if you don't fail, they can't be happy. And even when they are praying and trusting God for their own promotion, they are hoping that you will fail. And when you fail, they'll say, of course, what do you expect? As you are walking now, people have expectation on you. Some people's expectation is that you won't marry. Some people's expectation is that you won't prosper. But you need a light that is beyond the realm of men, that can show you what to do in order to be invincible. That dimension of invincibility can only come when the word comes into your space. This is why the word is an agency of acceleration. The word can transform you, which can make for your acceleration. The word can bring to you the realm of eternity, which is a realm without impossibility. And the word can give you light to make only the right and strategic decisions that can take you forward. This is the power that is locked up in the word. Now that you know, how do you apply the word? There are three ways to apply the word. Number one is to speak it. This is basic. That's why I told you, you know these principles. I'm not coming to teach you anything strange tonight. I'm just coming to remind you what you need to do daily. If you don't apply these words, it cannot be potent in your life. You may know it, but your application of it is what determines the benefit you can take out of it. There are many people today, they have 1,001 needs, and they have told it to 1,000,000 people. That's why their secret is on the internet. Meanwhile, the people they've told have done nothing about it. They only end up saying it, ending up ridiculing them. Whereas, all they needed to do was to find the word that addressed that situation and begin to release the energy into the air. The Bible said, when the cloud be full of rain, it empties itself upon the earth. That means that's why I told you, your speed in life is your choice. The frequency with which you fill your cloud is the frequency with which the rain comes upon you. And so if you want prosperity in a particular area, All you need to do is to begin to water your cloud. And the way to water your cloud is to release the word. Release the word. Release the word. As you are releasing the word, your cloud is being filled. There are people today who are walking in unending rain because they have filled the heavens with rain. There are other people trusting God for intervention and it's not coming from anywhere because they have not created a system for it. You want to apply the word and see what the word has to offer. Begin to speak it. Listen, spirits know these things. That's why you hear of trends. Everywhere, they are trying to mobilize different kinds of trends. Trends that will take your life backward. You think it's a casual trend. And then you are hearing somebody say, "He choked me." Another person say, "I don't die." Another person say, "He know the work." Another person say, "He don't be." And they are talking these trends. They don't know that the spirit is manipulating them to choke their destiny. Instead of removing mountains, they are planting mountains. Do you not know that if wars can remove mountains, wars can also plant mountains? In Mark 11, 20, 22 to 24, it says, "Have the God kind of faith. If you say to this mountain, 'Be thou removed and be thou cast away,' and you don't doubt in your heart, you shall have whatsoever you say." And instead of you removing mountains, you are now planting mountains. And in the last 2 months, you'll say, "He choked me 1,000 times. You have planted 1,000 mountains. It will take more than an impartation for you to move forward. And so for you to move forward, you have to remove every mountain you have planted. And so if you are wise, you'll start telling yourself, "I soar like the eagle. I ride on the chariots of eagles. I fly on the wings of the spirit. There's no limitation in my path. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world." This is why you have to be familiar with the world. Because if you are not familiar with the world, BB Niger will give you words. If you are not familiar with the world, any funny person can give you a word. And what you don't know is that the more you speak those words, the more you create your possibilities. And so most of the mountains stopping you from making speed in life, you planted them. And you're asking God, "Help me." God is saying, "I have been trying so hard to help you. But if I turn you to a direction, you plant mountains there. I turn you to another direction, you plant mountains. Meanwhile, you don't know how to fly." If walls can remove mountains, know for a surety that walls can also plant mountains. And many people are the architects of their misfortune. When we come for conferences like this, people want laying on of hands. People want impartation. People are sowing seeds. Some people want to sow seeds. They will lie down and hold your shoe and drop the seed at the apostles' feet. You will make declarations over them. Lay hands on them. Some will literally tear your body. I went to Kaduna 2 weeks ago. When they mobbed me and I couldn't lay hands, they now started laying hands on me. By all means, there must be a touch. They believe so much in the touch. Since they hold him and they are dragging him to the car, "Let's make contact." And before I know, the hands that came on my head, I tried to bend, but the way the protocol told me, held me, I couldn't even bend. So they led me into the car. My head was aching. They feel they are acting out their faith. But here is an opportunity God has given to them to water their heavens every day. And they have nothing to put there. They wake up in the morning, they speak evil only. Do you not know? He said, "Life and death are in the power of the tongue." What is the power of the tongue? The power of the tongue is words. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. That means you can improve the quality of your life and you can reduce the quality of your life. Did you not read what the Bible said? "Let no one in Zion say, 'I am sick.'" Does that mean there are no sick people in Zion? There are many sick people in Zion. But if you say it, you have denied yourself of help. Even God will begin to struggle to help you. Because you're saying it is your validation of it. In Isaiah 43 verse 26, he said, "Put me in remembrance of my words." He said, "By thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." In Isaiah 44 verse 26, it said, "The Lord performs the words of his servant and the counsels of his messenger." What are the counsels you have given concerning your life? What are the words you have spoken concerning your life? The angels will follow it carefully to administer it. Because the same way you cast out demons with words, that's how you can alter your life through words. If angels follow your words to cast out devils, who told you that's the only one they obey? People are praying. When they are praying and they are in a religious posture, they are saying only great things. And they pray for 1 hour, saying good things. And the remaining 23 hours, they say negative and rubbish. And they don't know that their 23 hours is superior to their 1 hour of prayer. They think God is hearing them because they knelt down in the dark room. God does not only hear you when you knelt down. Angels don't only hear you when you kneel down. Every time you are talking, you are actually praying. Because prayer is dialogue. As far as you are uttering it, every spirit is hearing. So sometimes you pray to God, sometimes you pray to demons. Because when you use demonic words, you are actually praying to demons. And when you use divine, spirit-inspired words, you are praying to God. Prayer is not just when you kneel down. That's a posture of reference. But over and above that, what you say determines what happens to you. This is why it becomes so difficult to pastor people. You are praying and fasting for them, and they are nullifying everything you are doing on a daily basis. If you don't know what to say, why not keep quiet? God taught me something in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 4. He said, life is a warfare. And he said, this is the strategy of fighting battles. He said, number one, take heed. Take heed means hold on to what God says concerning you, either from the scripture or through prophecies or through encounters. Take heed. When Mama was declaring yesterday, she said she saw the trucks coming. You need to see. I wish you saw what was happening in my spirit. Before the word fall from my mouth, I catch it. Take heed. That's why we war with prophecies. Number two, he said, be quiet. That means in case you don't know what to say, better be quiet. Your quietness can profit you much more than your speaking most of the time. People who say the wrong things, it's better they are quiet. If you don't know what to say, instead of rerouting your life backward, better be quiet. Maybe God will send somebody to speak on your behalf. But now that you don't know what to say, be quiet first. And number three, he said, fear not. Don't be faint-hearted. If you know these three things, you will run through life like a chariot of fire. Take heed. Be quiet. And don't be faint-hearted. Refuse to fear. I'm telling you, no matter what we do here, we can stir fire in this place. People will roll on the floor. They will see visions, have encounters. It may not amount to anything. These ones look simple, but they are more powerful than the impartation services. Because what you get out of the impartation service depends on how you understand this. There are many people who are godless. They are godless. Yet they are making more progress than Christians. Because they know what to do with words. They believe in the power of words, and they only speak positive words. You will never get them speak evil, no matter what you do. The power for acceleration is a function of the frequency of your utterances. Some people only speak good when they pray for others. When they are praying for people, hear the vocabulary. But when they talk about themselves, they bury themselves even before they start. You want to have speed in life? You must become careful of everything you say. Your words are powerful. You may not know it, but I'm telling you, most of the things you say, they emit death, not life. Life and death are trapped in words. There's no death anywhere. There's no life anywhere except in the words that convey them. Capsules of life and death are words. And when you allow your life to be predominated with death, no matter what you do, you'll be standing up, climbing against the hill. Number two, under the oppression of the word, is thoughts. God responds to your thoughts the same way he responds to your words. The reason is because thought patterns are created by words. What you believe today is a function of the words you have assimilated for many years. And so when you are thinking, you are actually talking in another realm. In the natural realm, you may not be talking, but in the spirit realm, some of your thoughts are shout, and they are hearing every bit of it. In Ephesians 3:20, it says God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. That means the same way God responds to what you say is the same way God responds to what you think. If you are thinking, you are already talking. It's only men who are not privileged to pick your thoughts, but God is picking it and is hearing everything you are saying loud and clear. This is why the operation of the word is very important. What you hear and what you say. Don't let anybody speak fear into your life. Don't let anybody speak intimidation into your life. Don't let anybody speak evil into your life. Don't let anybody speak sin into your life. No matter what it is, respectfully decline it. Because if you allow it to be planted, one day you will pick it up. And the moment you pick it up, spirits will begin to act upon it. The reason many can't make progress is because they are burdened with negative words. They are too many. They are heavy on them. They are thinking it and they are saying it. I'm saying this because something heavy will happen to you this week. But in order not to abort it before next week begins, you need to understand these things. Because abortion is not only in the natural. Thank God the U.S. government shut it down. But it's not only in the U.S. that such laws should be enacted. Some of us in our lives, abortion needs to, the law against abortion needs to be enacted. Because we are aborting our destinies every day by thoughts and words. That's why you have met the biggest of preachers, had the best of encounters, the greatest of impartations, serving God in the best of places. Yet, you are wondering, there's nothing to show. Your thoughts and your words are what you are receiving. What you are going through is a report card of your thought pattern and the things you have uttered. It's an aggregation of your thoughts and words. If you change your thoughts, change your words, after a while, you will see that your life will adjust to align with your words, to align with your thoughts. You may not have a dime yet. Start thinking the right things. Start saying the right things. And most importantly, the things God said about you. And see how your life will shift like a tornado. Number three, the administration of the world is by action or by obedience. It's not enough to talk. It's not enough to think. As beautiful as these two are, it's more important to act. And so when you talk and think, begin to act accordingly. There are many people, they speak the best of things, but when they go out, their actions betray their words. This is why they cannot make progress in life. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 5, from verse 12 to 14, it said, whoever uses milk is a babe and is unskillful in the word of righteousness. It said, but strong meat belongs to them who are of full age, who by reason of use have exercised their senses. So the key word is what? By reason of use. If you keep talking and not acting, you are a failure. If you keep thinking and not acting, you are a failure. At the point we come, you will discover you just hyped yourself. Your action is what validates your words and your thought pattern. The Bible said in Acts chapter 1, from verse 1 to 2, talking about Jesus, it said, of all that he both began to do and to teach. Jesus was not a talker. He was first of all acting what he was saying. And that's why when you study the book, it's called the Acts of the Apostles, not the speakings of the apostles. You saw them living out the things they said. If you say you are a success, let's see how you dress. If you say you are a success, let's see how you talk. You say you want to be a president and you are talking like a tout in the garage, you are a big dreamer. Wake up and come into reality. You say you will change this world and you are not taking actions to change yourself. How many books have you read? How many mentors do you have? What are the principles you are living by? Those are the proof that actually you are heading in the direction of changing your world. Who told you you can wish your way into changing your world? Find out those who are making impact. You will find discipline. you will find diligence, you will find focus, deliberate things that they gave their lives to. They can tell you that their lives are modeled after principles. As touching what they eat, there's a law that governs it. When they sleep, when they wake up, how they dress. Have you not seen that great men have a style of dressing? It shows you how detailed their lives are. They don't just wear anything. Find out Chinese presidents. There's a color of ties they wear. Check an American president. There's a color of tie they wear. It shows you the level of detail that is put into greatness. It's hard work to be great. No man becomes great casually. Every great man you see, he labors at it, and he does it for a long time. It's only lazy men that think they will wish their way into the top. It doesn't work that way. Because when you are rising, your generation will make demand on what you have. And if you have nothing to show for it, there is nothing you can get from your generation. Because your world will give back to you based on your contribution. This is why we work hard. It's not a function of age. It's a function of understanding. You can be 21 years old and you tell yourself, in the next 1 year, I will create a paradigm shift. And then every week you start reading a book. See what happens after 6 months. When you are suggesting, making a suggestion, even your lecturer will take note. Even your pastor will take note. And like joke, they will pick you from the back to the front. Everybody who is sentimental can be offended. But bro, this world responds to results. Greatness is not cheap. Find out those who are making impact. Most times, 24 hours is too small. It was Chinua Achebe that said if he had the opportunity, he will buy back his youth. Because of what he saw that he would have done with time. And somebody wants to be great. He's 8 hours on YouTube. What is he looking at? Pictures and movies. He wants to change the world. He's on Facebook for 4 hours, flipping through meaningless chats and pictures, dress codes. And then he shows up because he attends service, 2 services every week. He thinks by attending 2 services, he will become a change agent. You are a big joker, the biggest of the century. Beyond coming for service, there is a discipline that you must imbibe. It was George Washington that said, discipline is the soul of an army. It makes small number formidable. It procures success to the weak and esteem to all. Anybody can become anything depending on what he does to himself. Don't blame where you came from. Don't blame it on your age. All of that is not a factor. Blame it on the value you carry. And for you to put value in yourself, you will labor at it. Because even your senses abhor value. Sit down to read for 30 minutes and see the level of focus and discipline that is required. And then compare that with sitting down to watch a movie. Suddenly, the 30 minutes that was like eternity in the place of reading can become like a minute ant in the place of movies. And then you will know that becoming great is not a joke. You say you are a businessman. How many businessmen have you learned from? What are the principles you know? It's not just about receiving impartation. Sir, there is skill of negotiation. It takes a lot of skill to be able to negotiate in the market. It takes a lot of foresight to be able to predict what will be relevant tomorrow. That's what the ordinary man doesn't see. And if you have that level of foresight and skill, you can be making progress per second. But it will take labor to get there. Many believers take things like this for granted. They are thinking wrongly, talking wrongly, and they have no action to back where God has promised them. If this is your situation, forget about acceleration. I will deceive you if I tell you, you will go forward just like that. Nobody goes forward like that. It will distort the balance of nature. If God takes everybody forward like that, who will be the ones to bear the burdens of a generation? It doesn't work like that. Impartations can create momentary intervention, but lasting success has foundations. Actions. And not just actions, but the right actions. This is the oppression of the world. I told somebody, when you have known the word of God, it controls your emotions, it controls your mind, and it controls your action. If you have gotten there, you are success anywhere, anytime. It's not your environment that makes you successful. You were sent to your environment to improve on it. And so successful people call failure an opportunity. The same place you are lamenting opens their eyes to a lot of possibilities. I was talking to a friend of mine who came in from Turkey. And one of the Arab guys looked at him and said, let's go and invest in Nigeria. And he said, there's corruption in Nigeria. How can you invest? The guy said, that's an opportunity. And suddenly it dawned on my friend that it's my country we are talking about. And he got offended. Nigeria is not corrupt. We are making progress by God. Meanwhile, some people say the reason they are not successful is because there's corruption. But another man sitting in Turkey knows that even corruption is an opportunity to prosper. Because he can see the loopholes and he knows how to balance it. Acceleration in the spirit is a deliberate thing. And beyond impartation, you will determine your acceleration. Those of you who are students, listen to me. Congratulations. You are the most advantageous people. In fact, this conference is for you. You are 19, you are 25. Before you are 30, make sure you read 1,000 books. And find out who can stand you anywhere in the world. You will meet an American and dwarf him in understanding. I tell you the truth, an American can serve you. You don't need to run to America to prosper. An American can serve you now if you have the right knowledge and power. It takes understanding to determine where you will stand in life. A lot of people don't know these things. You don't know how precious time is until the day you are about to take your last breath. You don't know that every second is an opportunity for investment. Every second is an opportunity for self-improvement. And the word of God is the foundation for personal development. People can travel for 3 weeks to look for a prophet or an apostle to lay hands on them, which is good. But that same 3 weeks, they can waste it at home doing nothing. God weeps for our generation. In the days of the fathers, they don't even have access to what we have. Some people had the opportunity to get 10 books all their lives. And they made impacts that changed their nation just by reading those 10 books. Some of these books, they read them until the books were mutilated. They read them until they knew every line in every page. If you carry the book and you start reading any paragraph, they will tell you the page where it is. They act knowledge, true knowledge. And today, their voices and the things they uttered are like icons stored in time, like a museum of eternity. With little or nothing. And here we have everything, but it has become a distraction. You want to make the most of the new beginning. Wars must become your greatest asset. Eat it, think it, chew it, act it, and see if there's any force in this world that can stop you. Number two, what regulates speed and acceleration in the kingdom is a technology in the spirit called waiting. Men who fly in this kingdom, they are waiters. On earth, you can accelerate by running. But in the spirit, you only accelerate by waiting. When you find men who can wait, they are men with strategic advantage in the spirit. In Isaiah chapter 40, from verse 28 to 31, the Bible gave us a strange mystery. He said, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not?" He's giving us the credentials of God. He said, "He fainteth not, neither is he weary." He said there is no searching of his understanding. He doesn't faint. He doesn't get weary. The boundary of his understanding cannot be sought out. He said he giveth power to the faint, and unto them that have no might, he increases strength. He said even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. There are three things captured in this scripture. The first thing captured is the credential of God that gives him the strategic advantage that he has. The second thing captured is the fact that what God carries is communicable. That means it's not only God that should operate in this dimension. There is something you can do that makes it possible for God to communicate his advantage to become your advantage. But in case you are proud and you say, I don't need God, what God has, he went to the next verse to let you know the human race has already been checked in the studio of God. And the best among humans are young people. He said, even the young men will faint and will utterly fall. So three very important things. God possesses it all. And this God that possesses all is willing to share generously. And in case you think you don't need it, here is the judgment of man. He is weak and weary. However, if you are not among the proud, and you say, I want to enter the realm and the class of God, he said, this is the technology. Verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord, he said, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Remember, before he got here, he told us that men are weary, men faint. And he told us that God is not weary and God does not faint. So what bridges it and creates an equilibrium between the weak man and the powerful God is a technology called waiting. That means when a man begins to wait, he becomes like a God. So when you are finding God, he's not only heaven. There are men walking on earth with different dimensions of God. That's why in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I am the follower of Christ. That means in case you don't see Jesus, if you meet me, it's as good as you have met him. Because I am like him. I have possessed of the things that he carries. There is a dimension you can enter that makes you become a visible expression of the invincible God. But it's telling you what can grant you that level of access is a technology of waiting. Waiting is a strategy in the spirit to substitute your humanity with his divinity. And so if there's any area of lack, the way to enter into that dimension is by the instrumentality of waiting. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 43 to 45, the Bible gave us a graphic illustration how that the prophet Elijah already told the king that there will be abundance of rain. He had prophesied and said a lot of things. But after he spoke, his humanity now stared at him in the face. Are you sure it will happen? When he saw his weakness, he didn't tremble. The Bible said he went to the mountain of waiting. And while he was there, waiting upon the Lord, something began to happen. He did it seven times and suddenly, he said something appeared in heaven like the fist of a man's hand. And he said, go and tell Ahab, hurry home. In the days that the Bible revealed to us here, the fastest horses belong to the kings. And so if you are talking about speed, just go to the palace. Because if they are going to war, the man that must not die is the king. If there is any possibility of escape, the person that must escape is the king. Because if you kill the king, the nation is defeated. That's how the damn world operates. And so every insurance system is built around the king. And here was Elijah. You say rain is coming and you tell the king to go home and you are still on the mountain. How do you intend to go without being caught up by the rain? The Bible said suddenly the hand of God came upon Elijah. The hand of God. It would have been enough if he said Elijah ran fast. He gave us a vivid illustration. He compared that the chariot of the king and the hand of God. It was a comparison between the chariot of the king and the hand of God. He said Elijah outran the chariots of Ahab, even unto Jezreel. The king that went ahead suddenly discovered when he arrived, he met Elijah there. And they asked him, how did you get here? They saw you waiting on God and they said you are a failure. And suddenly, when they arrived in the king's palace, how did you get here? I came by the wind of the spirit. Because when a man begins to wait, he unlocks the divine dimensions. When I read, I'm still operating at a natural frequency. But when I begin to wait, I'm beginning to mobilize an invincible army. There is a realm you enter that you don't run by horses anymore. You run by the wind of the spirit. It's a technology called waiting. But the thing with waiting is that waiting is a realm. You don't just wait. It's a state of active participation with the divine. It's not something you just do. Before you wait, you must climb. Because men wait on the mountain. And so a man who wants to wait must climb. There is anxiety in your soul. There is distraction in your soul. There is pain in your soul. There are burdens in your soul. And so even if you close your eyes, you can't wait. The anxiety will trouble you. Hormones will be secreted. No matter what you do, you can't wait. The only way you can wait is to ascend beyond the noise of the territory. And the way to ascend, one of it is by prayer. And so when we want to be still and wait, sometimes it will take 4 hours. Kaka. Ragaga no benega. Iliga asuze akakatoria. Baragatua tetefanakatia. What you are doing is that you are booting the turbine. You want to travel. See, it's an engine. You want to travel. And so, you know, heavy vehicles, there's a way the sound is heavy. The engine sometimes is 16 valve. It will take time to warm. And so you may start. Some of you may need a song. And as you are singing, after a while, Marakida, Naka Lek Ope Actidia, Veluka Actine Kor Actagahara Skira, Lerubakadia Folari Endozuza Acti, Vilakabundra Kahida Acto, Zune Alish Nahask, Vaharina Undapara Kadia, Lakura Acti. As you are doing that, after a while, an energy will enter your room. You will discover, you who was Laria Aknona Ida Pata, you will enter my Nene Esh. Aluate Mataka. Watete. Aole Heha. Huaya. Yakakatua. Yedu Paratua. Yede Debunata. Hefu. Atawa. Madia. Yene. Uene. Mumokeke. Ia. Sometimes. The Bible said in Psalm 91, it said, they that wait upon the Lord, they that dwell in the secret place of the Most High, they abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There's a place where the shadow comes. You know what the shadow is? It's called the Shekinah. In Exodus 19 verse 18, it said God descended upon the mountains of Sinai and there was a dark cloud upon that mountain. When Moses entered that cloud, he came out, he was a god. They looked at him. It was not the man who went up that came down. Because when you wait, transubstantiation takes place. Transfiguration takes place. The mortal elements are suspended and divine propensities are activated. This is why we journey. Prayer is not a religious activity. One of the things prayer does is to travel. Sometimes as you are praying, you will discover that a garment will come on you. You will know that your uniform has been changed. And if the uniform of a warrior, Melekaode, Evone, Azuda, Kakataya, your wars will become arrows. That's another frequency. Sometimes as you are playing in your room, you will find yourself removing things. You are uprooting mountains. Azuzo Vakate, Ateniata, Avakado, Azusa Kayato, Etia Ote, Etia Ote. You are mighty on your throne. I'm gonna tell you. Peter. There is a human side and there's a divine side. I tell people this, we are not just men. The world thinks we are all men. We are not all men. It's not Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's a divine side to you. And so when you try what men try and it doesn't work, leave men at their frequency and connect to the divine frequency. He said, we know not what to pray for as we ought to because of our infirmities. He said, but the Spirit of God helped our infirmity. I know I don't have enough wisdom. I know I don't have enough foresight. I know I don't have enough strength. But when the Holy Ghost takes over, he got a full attack, and energy will come from the divine. You are not defeated. All you need to do is to be clothed. Wear your garment in the spirit. There are dimensions waiting for you. But will you climb? Can you pray the Holy Ghost for 1 minute?
Coming to that place of decoration. I don't know where you are, But as you pray in the Holy Ghost, in the next 1 minute, rivers will open. Rivers will open. Rivers will open. Rivers.
Yeah. the choir, can you stretch your hands in my direction?
Where is your others?
Some of you are about to receive a shift.
Here it is.
They are coming into global visibility. Now there's a fire, a revivalist fire from the Lord of Kingdom. You will shift men into dimensions. Whoever that place is meant for, now in the name of Jesus, I shift you forward. I shift you forward. I shift you forward. Thank you, Father. I'm seeing somebody step into a realm of wisdom. The power for winning vices. A wisdom supernatural. A wisdom that confers favor and authority. Wherever you are, now, receive that crown. Receive that crown. Receive that crown.
Thank you, Father. Those of you who are young ladies here, please listen to me. Every young lady in the house, please hear me. There is a mantle about to fall on somebody. These ones are priestesses of the altar. You will pray and shift territories. You will shift territories from the altar of prayer. Wherever they are now, everyone trapped and captured in this utterance. Now, in the name of Jesus, receive that power. Receive that power. Us has helped them. Receive that power. Some of you will return home tonight and you will fight in your dream. What is the battle of conquest? The powers that held you down, you will subdue them by the grace of God tonight. Thank you, Father. Lift your hands and give him praise.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.